Let's bring in the man who wears many a hat, and we revive it once again. Jerry Thompson joins us. Hey, JT.
How you doing, Steve?
I'm doing great. So names, what's in a name? The magazine hasn't been renamed. It's gone back to an original name?
Yeah, kind of like Back to the Future, you know. Anyway, it's Ducks Illustrated has come back. We had a little ownership on the name issue, no, just a minor thing. No fists were or arrows were flung at anybody, but got the name back. Very happy. Like to expand the magazine and get larger pictures to make it more illustrated.
I got you. Thus the illustrated. A lot of good stuff, as always. Let the folks know where they could pick it up.
Yeah, it's your local dairy marts, buy marts, and duck stores. And it's absolutely free. That's the best part.
Yes, it is. You got a lot of good stuff in here. I mean, you know, looking back at the season that was, not just for football, which actually was one of like the few kind of dampers on the whole thing. But man, between track and field and golf and the Final Four and the Elite Eight in basketball, I mean, that's just an incredible year to follow this program. Top 10 in that prestigious Director's Cup.
Yes, it's the first time that the Ducks have finished in the top 9. And the 9th place was the highest they've ever finished.
Right.
They were 10th last year. But the track, the women won the Triple Crown. It's never been done by a college women's team before, and cross-country, indoor track, and outdoor. Golf, you know, was played for the national championship. And the basketball, men's basketball, is, you know, 2 points away from playing for the national championship and almost beat the team that won it. So, and of course, the women, I mean, in basketball and softball. Fantastic year. It was basically baseball and football let us down a little bit. But great, should be a great season ahead for the Ducks. I think there'd be improved or as good in just about every sport.
Now, as far as football, which is now sneaking up on us, camp has started. You kind of did a double senior spotlight with a defensive player and an offensive player. Let's start with Arian Springs, who we got some one-on-one time with on Media Day. He's an interesting guy. One thing, he doesn't lack confidence.
No, he's a walking soundbite. You want to get a soundbite. He's pretty bold and brash. He tried to tone it down a little bit because last year he picked the Ducks as finishing really high, and that kind of backfired on him. But I know he still feels they will this year, but he didn't want to come out and say it. He also, of course, says he is the fashion icon of the state of Oregon. I don't know if you've seen how he dressed. I haven't. But I guess it's pretty eye-popping. We'll have to get a sneak preview and get some photos of him, you know, on the side of how he dresses before a game or after a game or something, because he doesn't lack any any humility there. Actually, he does lack a little bit.
No,
anyway,
we,
fashion icon, Arian Springs, and, of course, most memorable moment, if you think of Arian Springs, it's his interception against Arizona State to clinch the miracle win down the desert.
No, and like I said, I enjoyed talking with him. I mean, you know, some guys, some coaches might prefer guys don't, you know, chirp a little bit, but I just love the way he's really comfortable in his own skin, looks you right in the eye when he talks to you. I could not have enjoyed the conversation we had one-on-one much more. So, on the other side, you have Jake Pizarcik, who, being a longtime Giants fan, that name sends a bit of a chill up my spine. But just from the fumble in the Meadowlands,
let it go.
It's going on 40 years. I'm still a tad scarred. But you know,
you have to be happy. He's from Jersey, right?
Yeah, he's from South Jersey. We don't technically consider that Jersey, but that's a song for another day. But you know, he was almost, I said, between he and Voller and Brenner last year, with the emergence of the four red shirts, they were almost the forgotten players, but now back and seniors. I mean, it seems like he's right back in the mix and might actually end up starting.
Yeah, that's what after the first week, he was running first string at right guard. I'm really happy to see not only him, but Arian Springs who's not always been the starter through spring all the time, because there's a lot of competition, Thomas Gray and some other guys in there. But it looks like I'm happy to see the seniors fighting hard to earn the starting spot. And Jake, he's trimmed a little weight, got a little stronger, and got a picture of him and Coach Cristobal there shaking his hand. So expecting good things of Jake. And he's a pretty interesting guy. So grew up, he liked the Eagles and the Ravens. So I guess he's not a Giants fan. That's a little bit surprising.
Well, where he grew up, though, is a hop, skip, and a jump. It's a suburb of Philly. So.
Okay, well, he likes geography, and obviously you like geography, too. I'm not quite up on it as much as you are.
No, we hit a point right around Rutgers in Jersey where we're like, they're more Philly people. We really should just – we want them to secede from Jersey. But anyway –
Well, with his dad on the Giants, I was just kind of assuming.
Right. But a painful era on the Giants.
Yeah, okay.
So one thing that has not slipped under the radar – is this coaching staff in attack mode as far as recruiting? And I know February is a long way off, and a lot of the programs around the conference and the country still have a lot of room to fill out. But my goodness, right now, I don't think you could be much more impressed or excited about what Coach Taggart and his guys are doing as far as the next recruiting class.
No, it was amazing what he did when he took over December 7th, a day that will live in infamy in U.S. history, but not for Duck history, because Coach Taggart, with just less than 2 months, basically was only second to USC in recruiting in the Pac-12. It was incredible. And he kept everybody and got more. And then the guys who are going to start, you know, possibly like Graham and Scott and the defensive line. But no, he's taking it to the next level and his assistants, of course, are so highly qualified from Alabama and all over that has to help. And they're ranked in the nation's top five. It's going to, of course, depend on how the team does, I think, how many they're going to keep. Hopefully they can keep them all, but that rarely happens. But I think if, like you alluded to, if Justin Herbert stays healthy, I think the Ducks will have a very good year. And I think all these recruits will probably stay with him.
Now, along those lines, last week we actually put a numerical value on each unit about what the level of concern should be. And there's no way around it. I mean, you think back 2 years when Vernon Adams went down, how things kind of came unglued at the position. Herbert, obviously, is the constant. What do you make on what's become, I guess, the variables to back up Justin Herbert?
Well, I think pulling for Taylor Alley would be nice, but we're all hoping that he doesn't get to see the field unless there's mop-up activity, you know, the big win. But a trivia question I ask people a lot is, in the last 3 years in Oregon's last games, they played Ohio State, TCU, and Oregon State. What did Ohio State, TCU, and Oregon State have in common in their wins against Oregon? They beat them with a third-string quarterback.
Oh, yeah, Cardell Jones. Right, when Boykin was hurt at TCU, and McMarion in there. Ah, that's a good one. After Garrettson and the other kid got hurt. I didn't even think about that. Nice.
So Burmeister or Taylor Alley looks like the third-string quarterback. Burmeister, highly regarded out of high school. Taylor Alley's got the most experience. I'd obviously like to see Taylor Alley end his career on a really high note. But as Taylor has told the local newspaper, he hopes that Justin doesn't get hurt and the team, you know, does well. I mean, of course he would say that, and I'm sure he means it, because Justin Herbert is really could be a premier quarterback, reminds him of Marcus Mariota. So anyway, it's not the best situation. I don't understand Travis Johnson and Terry Wilson, one step away from, at least Travis Johnson, from being a starter and transferring. Where's he gonna go after where he is now and ever walk in as one play away from being a starter at any major college program? I don't understand the Oregon State guy leaving either. And do you have a psychological analysis of this for us?
No, I just think it's more of a trend where guys are like, I want to play right now, and I don't know if ego gets involved or if they have somebody in their ear. But, man, especially in football, the value of a backup, I mean, it is rare that somebody plays all 12 every snap in the NFL, all 16 games.
Right.
It's such an important spot on the team. It's just, it's a bit of a head-scratcher.
And I'm sure Cardale Jones and the guy from TCU and the Oregon State quarterback are happy that they didn't do that because they had great season-ending victories in bowl games and the Civil War.
All right. And in closing, once again, a little recap. It's now called Ducks Illustrated. It's out. Where can folks pick it up?
At your local Dairy Lights, Spymarks, and Duck Stores.
All right. Always a pleasure, JT. Just getting started. We'll be with, I'm assuming this takes us all the way to the next Final Four.
Yeah. Let's go to the national championship this time.
There you go.
Even get further. All right.
Thanks, JT.